Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. This week, we have two first-time guests, and I think maybe you've both listened once or something, so I'll say first-time, long-time. That can work.
Times, yeah.
The first guest is an old friend of mine from the University of Colorado at Boulder, a fellow buff. You work there now, I believe, too, but I don't know a whole lot else, so I will just say that. Vanessa Brady Dunn, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Yes, I hadn't seen you in so long, and when I found out you had a podcast, I looked it up that exact night and started listening, so it was very fun.
And that's the biggest honor that a person running a very low-level podcast could have, is that someone would actually go look it up, not only remember, but actually follow through. I didn't mention also that you're an office aficionado and expert.
Yes, we did. We did run into you at office trivia. We did okay at that trivia, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how anybody could have done well, because if you did well, you really don't have any other things in your head at all. It was a devastatingly difficult afternoon of trying to go, oh, I don't remember that side character's pants size that you mentioned at the time. Our other guest, you might recognize her from Denver 7 weekday morning reporting and anchoring. It's Nicole Brady. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Hi, thank you for having me. And I'm Vanessa's sister, obviously, if you didn't catch the Brady part of that. But yeah, absolutely. Maybe someone recognizes me. I have no idea.
I would like to think that if you've got a bio on a website that's connected with a local news thing, someone recognizes you. Maybe not someone you want to.
We might have a little more reach in local news than a local podcast, but not much these days. So
yeah, that's a sad state of affairs when it comes to journalism and on the local level right now. And hopefully we can turn that around. But I don't know if we'll solve that problem here today. Well, we can
maybe
try. I can scrap the whole game and we can just try to talk this out. But it's funny.
Let's play.
All right. I mean, it's funny that you mentioned sisters, because that is the theme of the show this week. So we're going to start with the opening question, and we'll start with Vanessa. Do you have a vague idea whether I have a sister or not?
Okay, I did listen to one of your podcasts that you recorded at, I think, at your family member's house for Christmas, because it was like a Christmas-themed podcast, and I really loved that one. And I believe, here's the thing, Nate. I always thought you were an only child. So I think you might have a stepsister. Is that correct?
That's very good. Very good.
Ah! And now I sound like I'm a stalker too. You probably why did she know this about me?
Honestly, again, it's very flattering as a host to be like, oh, I listened to the Christmas episode of this show that we recorded in my parents' living room. Most of us were a few sheets in. And it's just like a single snowball microphone on a table. So the sound quality is not great and we are goofy. So thank you for doing that. So Nicole, since it's the cat's out of the bag, I do have a stepsister.
Okay,
do you have a vague
yeah.
idea? I'm going to just give you a wild chance. You get three shots at what her name is.
All right. I did not listen to the Christmas episode. the special episode. Let's see, Jennifer.
No, I'm sorry, but my wife's name is Jenny.
Okay, that's always a good bet to go with first.
We have another sister named Jennifer, so that's
we also have another sister.
Yeah.
It's very
generationally
name.
Like it's a generational safe name for sure.
Safe there. I mean, I guess I should just go with the other generationally safe names. Is it Kelly?
It is not. I'm sorry.
Okay,
but that's a nice try.
Okay, I'll just Amanda.
No, unfortunately, no. Her name is Sylvia. Not even a generationally safe name.
No, it's an unusual name, for this generation. Yeah, pretty name, yeah.
But great job on the opening question. Vanessa, I'm going to give you 3 points. And Nicole, you get 2 points because everybody gets a chance when they play the game.
All right.
Yeah, the scoring system here is I do it, but I also have no idea how it works. So just get used to that. Now we're going to start with round one. And Nicole, you'll go first. Do you have a vague idea about sister cities?
Ooh, maybe. Some of them.
Okay. Yeah, talk about what they are.
Oh, okay. A sister city. I thought you were going to have me name all of Denver's or something. No,
oh, no.
I
nothing that difficult.
There are cities that, from international, from other countries that cities partner with, mostly for a sharing, I think, of just culture and symbolic sistership, more so than any, I think, economic relationship, but maybe a little of that too. That's my vague idea.
Very good, very good. I'll throw a follow-up question at you. If you yourself were a city, what would be the sister city you would choose? Ooh. If you could only choose one?
I think I would go with, I think Munich would be my sister city.
Wow, okay.
It's kind of a fun, loving, beer drinking, history, and kind of a, I love Germany. So I guess I'll go with Munich.
I love it. Very good. Good choice. Vanessa, do you have a vague idea about sister cities? Can you add anything to what your sister said? And then you can answer the follow-up question as well.
So the only thing to add, I guess, is that I believe, I think, is Boulder's sister city something related to Dushanbe? Because there's the Dushanbe Tea House, and I believe there's like a plaque inside of there about being a sister city. So I don't know, but that's my very, very limited knowledge of that. And I don't know if that's even true.
No, I mean, I don't remember exactly what the city is, but you are correct that there is a plaque, and the tea house is an exchange from a sister city program. So I'll give you that for sure.
So that's about it. And I guess in terms of my sister city, I think maybe I'll go with something like, let me think. I'm trying to think of a place. I've only traveled internationally once. I'm going to go with Vancouver. Vancouver is probably the coolest city, one of the coolest cities I've ever been to, because they have lots of awesome, like, international cuisine. They have this amazing park that's like 3 times bigger than Central Park. Anyway, it's a cool city, and so that's my sister city.
You get mountains and the sea in one place. Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a very good choice. So just a couple of little factoids about sister cities that are fun. One, the concept was originated after World War II in 1947 to foster friendship and understanding among this newly connected world that had connected to kind of beat the crap out of each other. So it's nice that we were like, hey, take a minute and think about peace and reconciliation. Around the year 2000, town twinning is another way to refer to it, has been kind of used as an international business strategy. So all good things must be tainted in some way, I suppose. But great job on that. And Nicole, 2 points. Vanessa, 1 point. And we're going to go into round two. Vanessa, you're first. Do you have a vague idea about Pleiades?
Oh, my goodness. Is that some form of an exercise? No, I don't know.
That's Pilates.
I believe. It sounds like a dance, or maybe there's something related to ballet. I know I'm way off, but I'm gonna go with some kind of ballet move.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I plie, I think, is what you were thinking of for sure. But yeah, that's good. That's a good guess. So Pleiades. Nicole, Pleiades. Do you have a vague idea?
Oh gosh. Oh, I think it's something astronomical. Is that? Is it a constellation of some sort?
Yeah, but very good. It is an astronomical constellation.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's not a constellation in itself, it is astronomical.
Okay, yes.
I already hate that all of my knowledge is television based, so my ignorance is going to be on display.
Well, I guess we'll find out who the smarter sister is.
Well, I think that's already you. Yeah. So.
No, I don't. So what is it?
Well, so I'm going to give you both a shot at how it connects to this.
Connects to sisters, right?
So what is there anything astronomical that has sisters in it that rings a bell?
I'm bad. I want to say there's like a Greek mythology aspect to it, but I can't place it.
Okay. Vanessa, any thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know if it's, again, like rivaling sisters. Yeah, something mythological. Yeah. Or yeah, that Greek mythology sounds like a good
sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah, you're spot on with the mythology thing. That's for sure.
All
yeah.
right.
Pleiades is also known as the Seven Sisters. It is a star cluster that is in the northwest constellation of Taurus. So it's just a group of, it's actually more than seven stars, but there are seven prominent stars that are in there. And yeah, and it's based on a Greek myth.
Oh, we should have known that too. Yeah, we're one of seven siblings, not all sisters.
Oh, I know, that should be our symbol.
Yeah, yeah. It is also one of the symbol. It's the symbol depicted in the Subaru logo. Six of the prominent stars within the group. But it's also, from the Japanese constellation cluster. So it's actually Mutsuroboshi, I think is how you pronounce that. Anyway, so yeah, there you go. Stars. It's a lot of fun. Nicole, 2 points. Oh, Vanessa, 1 point.
Uh-oh, I'm falling behind. That's okay.
Now we're going to play a game. It's time to play Recast. So the way Recast works is I'm going to name a popular property that has actors in it, and your job will be to recast the roles with whoever from whatever era you want. And so we'll start with Nicole. The show that we are recasting is the TGIF classic Sister Sister, and we need two titular sisters. So and then you don't have to actually cast real sisters or real twins, but I just want you to tell me who's playing the titular sister sister in your in your version of the show.
Great. Loved the show. Were they Tia and Tamara in the show, their real names? So I see we actually, you'll see Vanessa and I know a lot more about TV than anything else. So let's see. Who would be great sisters on a show? They were young, so if you were gonna do a reboot, you'd probably want to pick some young actors, I would think.
You can do whatever you'd like. I mean, you can make the new one. The new one can be a college show. It can be like Greg Gardens, and they can both just be older and puttering around.
Yeah, that's what I would like. Yes. Okay. Well, you know who I think is. Dang, I wish I do kind of wish I could pick a pair of real life sisters here. But I'm going to go with Zoe Deschanel and yeah, I'm liking this Grey Gardens thing though. So maybe Alexis Bledel from Gilmore Girls and Zoe Deschanel, they could be sisters. I think they kind of look alike. And I think the two of them would bounce off each other well.
Yeah, they're similarly fast talking, kind of the like, precocious, very smart, but also kind of whatever the geek cute situation is. Yeah, great. I like that. Good choice. Vanessa, who are you gonna cast in Sister Sister?
I like those. Well, and I just learned Zoe Deschanel has a sister who's an actress.
She does, right?
I
didn't know
that. Bones.
I didn't know that. Okay. Well, originally I was gonna go like a little kooky and go with some older actresses because one time Nicole sent me this article about siblings who reunited in a nursing home after their spouses had all passed on, and we were like, we should do that someday. So that could be the fun setting for another
good show. Yeah.
Little Golden Girls meet Sister Sister.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of. Some Betty White. I don't know if she's a little too old now. So that might not quite work. But I was trying to think of who my old actresses would be. Maggie Smith.
I like that.
And let's see, who could be her counterpart? I don't know. Let's see. Meryl Streep? I don't know. That's a hard one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either of them would think to this level for this show.
No, see, I think you're thinking about it the wrong way because I think Meryl Streep elevates whatever she's in. So
that's
it doesn't
true.
Matter. It doesn't matter how low you think the show is. Like if Meryl Streep's in it, plus she's going to be able to play young version of herself as well as current and older version of herself.
Oh, right.
Well, and it's going to be believable.
We just watched Into the Woods, so she's with the kids. So she's fresh in my mind. So
and
there
she does do some, old, young.
There
yeah.
could even be some songs. So yeah, and Maggie Smith is also amazing in everything she does. So yeah, I'll go with the older sister version.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
And isn't the premise of Sister, they like a parent trap almost where they didn't know they had a sister at first and then they meet? So I kind of like old people coming together in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been separated at birth.
Yeah.
They did one of those DNA tests and found out they were sisters in the same nursing home.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
So we're rolling a little bit of twins in here too.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah. That's true.
Have either of you seen Big Little Lies?
No, I've heard it's good.
Just the first season. Yeah.
Okay, because Meryl Streep's in season two.
Yeah.
And she is really good. She's probably the highlight of the second season of that show. Though I think we could all argue that it didn't need a second season, but that's not what this episode's about.
Another episode.
Great job on recast. Vanessa, I'm going to give you 3 points because I love the idea of exploring these, you know, late in life ladies coming, maybe even just first realizing they're sisters together. And they have their whole lives to catch up on together. But you also have a lot of really quality drama and character growth because there are so many things that they would have wanted to have a sister to go through that they're reprocessing later in life. I mean, I can imagine that would be a thing. Like, you know, you have all these weird arguments and tragedies in your life that you could have shared with someone this whole time, but you can't. Amazing. Really cool stuff. Nicole, I'm going to give you 2 points because I do really like the idea of two very fast talking indie hip chicks just like sistering out like crazy.
Yes.
I know we're not, I wasn't cheating, but I did have to look up how old they are to see it. I'm like, maybe I'm way off in terms of age, but they could be sisters. Maggie Smith.
Are they pretty close?
No, she's 15 years older than Meryl Streep, but 15 years, that's in our family, that's still possible. And by the time you get to a certain age in a nursing home, it's not as critical. So that difference wasn't as significant.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, the age difference allows you to do a lot of really interesting story beats throughout later seasons, right? Like when you need to get to sweeps time, it's like, oh, wait, actually, Maggie Smith is your mom. And this was all a cover up this whole time. I don't know. I mean, there's a whole mess of stuff you can do. It could get real good. great job. We're going to go into round three. And Vanessa, we will start with you. Do you have a vague idea about sister wives?
Oh my gosh, yes. I know way too much about Okay, first of all, I watched that show Big Love, which I know is complete truth and tells you everything you'd ever need to know about sister wives, starring Bill Paxton.
Yes, definitely.
He has a wife. That show is really good, actually.
It's a good show.
I might have to rewatch that. It has a really good cast.
That's a good one.
But I truly was fascinated by that show because I don't actually think it I think people are just inherently jealous. So I just don't actually know how that would ever work. But then the show Sister Wives was a show, I believe, on TLC. I don't know when the Learning Channel started going down these paths. I think it was on TLC. And I, unfortunately, as embarrassing as I did watch that show sometimes, and I don't remember the guy's name. I think they were, you know, they're not Mormon. They're some, because I don't think that's accepted, but they moved to Las Vegas, I think, because it's not illegal there. And they had, you know, so basically the concept is, you know, that your sister wives are the other women that your husband is sleeping with. That's my understanding.
Yeah.
And I do occasionally have friends that joke that it'd be fun to have sister wives, like, because you'd all take care of each other's children. But again, I just don't, in reality, I don't think that actually would work out. So that's all I know.
It seems like a very complicated arrangement. I mean, and Big Love does explore how difficult that can be because, I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting. More power to anybody who can handle it, I guess.
And not to get us too far off track, but I just read this crazy article about how some like researcher in China was talking about how because the male, there's so many more men than women in China because of all their, you know, their old rule about one child, that there's such a gender imbalance that he was suggesting oh, women should be able to have two husbands. And that this would be the solution. And it's kind of interesting when you think about, like, that concept is so, like, I don't know if there's something, you're like, that, how would, you just can't imagine that working. Not that I think sister wives works either, by the way. But yeah, that, it was just interesting that he, I mean, it was kind of a crazy idea, and I don't think anyone was going for it, but he did propose that could be a way to deal with the situation.
I kind of think that would be better. I don't know. I think that might actually work very well.
Yes. Brother husband.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to, obviously you have to navigate like the male ego and all these other problems of misogyny and patriarchy. But if you could get past that, you're basically saying like, hey, all of my home projects are half as difficult because I got another guy who is also invested in the home, right? Like that's not a bad idea.
The whole concept of it is that we're like in this together. We do all the family stuff together. But
yeah,
the ego seemed to be what I thought. And again, not to say that means it's like easier for women. I'm not saying that. I just think it's just kind of I don't know, humans are designed to be able to easily accept that, but you never know. Maybe it could work. Right? With the right love of each other, the right brotherly or sisterly love, it could work.
I love the optimism. Very good. Okay, Nicole, do you have a vague idea about sister wives?
Yeah, I mean, a similar level of knowledge that Vanessa has about how it's been shown in TV shows and I guess some reality TV. I mean, polygamy is not legal anywhere, I'm pretty sure, here in this country at this point. So I suppose there's no legal way to have a sister wife, but people tend to, you know, make their own family arrangements all the time, I guess. So you could, I mean, you know, maybe your step situation in some scenarios is a good one where people help out more with each other and kind of share the load that way, or some different situations like that. But no, I think a sister wife I know is married to people, married to the same husband, you know, under God, perhaps in certain religions, but not legally at all.
Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be a specific offshoot of the Church of Latter-day Saints, I think. And I cannot for the life of me remember what the specific one is, but we had watched a documentary thing about that recently. And it's sort of just this, it's a specific offshoot. It's kind of a very, it's almost kind of Mennonite seeming, like it's very just bare bones living, and we're all going to take care of each other, and this is what God intended and everything else. So I don't know if there's a religious exemption that happens to some extent, or maybe we just are accustomed to sort of leaving stuff alone sometimes, depending on what we want to leave alone. It's a weird thing. It's a very weird thing, and it's I think there are a lot of problems with women being property in this and everything else, because it's kind of the implication.
Yeah. Did either of you watch Waco?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I mean, so, you have one man fathering
They still had, they kind of were like sister wives though, in that they all were helping in the same compound. Although the husbands were still around, they just, only David.
But Koresh fathered all the children. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
as part of his edict as a prophet.
I found that revelation from God to be suspect. But.
Yeah. Whenever anybody says God said that you should do this thing that's really weird, specifically for my benefit, maybe we should question that just a little.
Yeah. Yeah.
great job.
Well, thank you. I with Big Love, I always when I used to watch that show, I used to think, could you get around the law with this? Because really, if you have a man who just sleeps with the two other women that live next door. And he's only legally married to one of them, and everyone's just okay with that. Is that breaking a law? I always tried to figure that out. So
I think it depends on the state, right? Because in some states there are laws about
infidelity, infidelity like that.
But not every single one, and they're usually like really old weird laws that no one's ever actually enforced, because probably the men who wrote those laws whenever they were written were being in Fidelis all the time. So
right, sure, yeah,
yeah.
Very, very interesting, though.
yeah, very good. Vanessa, I'm going to give you 3 points, and Nicole, 2 points. Really good conversation about that. And
excel at Sister Wives of Astronomy.
and Nicole, we're going to start with you on this one. Do you have a vague idea about Sister Christian?
Ah, okay. It's a band that I associate with the 80s. Well, okay, is it a band or is it just in that song? Is it just a song? Okay, that's what it is. It's a song. Sister Christian, and I don't know any of the other words. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what it is. It's like, so no, I don't know who sings it. It's a song, though, from the 80s. There's my vague idea.
Yeah, yeah, you're perfect. Yes, it is definitely a song from the 80s, and you are correct. You got the first line of the song, you know.
Okay, that's the only line I know. only two words I know.
Vanessa, do you have anything to add?
I'm sure there's a lot of big hair going on in whatever video is happening. I don't think the band is called Sister Christian, but I'm pretty sure that's just the name of the song. But I don't actually know that for sure. I wonder what the inspiration for that song was. You know, I again, sister is what people would refer to, like a nun, as sister. So I don't know. But then again, that's a Catholic thing. So I don't know if Sister Christian. I don't know what the inspiration was, but maybe it was some, I don't know, some inspiration from their Catholic school days.
Okay. Great. Sister Christian is a song by the band Night Ranger.
Yeah.
You were correct on
famous songs.
I don't think they do. But if any listeners know, you can tweet at us at a vague idea pod if you know a Night Ranger song as famous or more famous than Sister Christian. So Sister Christian, the chorus is the one that everybody really knows, which is "You're motoring."
Yes,
that song in Finding Mr. Right. It's a song about like a good girl who's going out to try to find. She keeps like going out to try to find the right guy, and keeps running into trouble. So most people probably think the song is called "Motoring," but it is called Sister Christian, and yeah.
It's in the musical Rock of Ages. I know that.
Yes.
So that's another thing that Vanessa and I could rattle a lot of trivia off of is in musicals. So it is a song in that. Yeah.
the B side of this was a song called Chippin' Away, and it comes from the 1983 album Midnight Madness. so great job. 2 points each for that. Nicole, you snuck an extra point in by dropping the Rock of Ages bit.
All right.
And now we're going to go into our second game. It's time for the Thunderdome. And this week in the Thunderdome, we're going to fight a couple of sisters. They are not sisters to each other, but they are sisters of someone more famous, and they are going to battle. So we'll start with Vanessa. Vanessa, in the Thunderdome, we have Ashley Simpson and Jamie Lynn Spears. So in a battle to the death, who wins in the Thunderdome?
I'm going to go with Ashley Simpson. I think she seems a little spunkier. I think she's kind of small, but I think she's spunky. Jessica seemed like the really like sweet, sweet, innocent sister, even though she was older. I always thought Ashley seemed a little more feisty. Jamie Lynn, I don't know. I almost think it's the opposite. She seems too sweet. So I pull for Ashley in this role, in this dome.
Okay. Great, great. Nicole, what do you think? Is it Ashley Simpson or Jamie Lynn Spears?
I also think Ashley. I don't know a lot about Jamie Lynn Spears, but Ashley Simpson, I mean, she was lip syncing that song, you know. She'll do whatever it takes, I think. To win.
Yeah, very good. I was gonna bring that up. Because I would imagine that Ashley wins mainly because of the jig that she did on SNL after she was caught lip syncing. And then her just like completely guiltless sort of putting it off on her band. Like, my band started playing the wrong song, which is what she said at the like in the end credits of that SNL episode. Like, I didn't know what to do, guys. They started playing the wrong song, whatever. It's like no, you, there was a track playing. That's not, that's not good. But yeah, it proves that she's devious. And yeah, I think, I mean, Jamie Lynn might have a lot to prove. That would be the only advantage, is like, she's so far behind in the shadow that she could be really, really like just attack dog violent. But yeah, I see Ashley winning. So we're going to do a follow-up Thunderdome bonus, because you guys are sisters. Which one of you would win in the Thunderdome? Vanessa, who wins between the two of you?
Okay, I need a clarification. What actually is happening in the Thunderdome?
Well, you have to imagine that, you're in a
American gladiator.
You're in like a large open area, kind of like traditional, more biblical gladiators. So you got like, you're in a sand arena. You've probably got, there's probably like weapons laying around the fringes, but you come in unarmed. So you're going to have to be wily to get something. It's a little bit of a Hunger Games thing too. Like, run to the center, get the supplies.
Okay. You know, I actually think that Nicole would win. And I think she has, in a good way, that I think she is more competitive than I am. So I am competitive and have over the years, especially when we were younger, probably was competitive with Nicole, you know, but I think later in life, I don't know that I have as much of that. So I actually think you would win, and maybe I would kind of be less inclined to want to hurt you. Not that you want to hurt me. I'm just saying, I might be like, I'm not going to hurt you. So, but Nicole, you know, she's in a more like competitive career. I don't know. I'm in a more cooperative career. So it's just, my career is all about building others up. And I mean, yours isn't not. It's just business is very, like, it's more cutthroat. So that's what I'm going to say. Okay. And I'm okay with that.
All right. Nicole, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm gonna say I would win too, because Vanessa knows me too well. And sadly, I really don't want to imagine the life situation, the amount of hunger that I'm experiencing in this Thunderdome and fight to the death where I'd kill my sister. But I do have a tendency. A thing a few years ago, we had to do one of those polar plunges with some coworkers. And have you know what that is, where you jump into a pool of cold water in like the middle of the winter and it's for charity and it's freezing. And I actually pushed a coworker out of my way to get to the steps to get out of the pool. And I, because that's how freezing cold I was. So I did. If my true nature is coming out in this situation, then I do think I would win.
All right.
You didn't know you were going to be conducting like sister therapy too. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk through this a little bit. Where do you think that first developed?
Well, older sister. I mean, we could just say it's a little of that. I should be protective, but the
spotlight was taken off of you and put on this younger child, and then you had to begin to fight for attention.
Oh,
I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me.
That does. You know, Nate, that does.
People think I talk a lot, and I'm like, you have no idea. We used to fall asleep. I would fall asleep as a child and wake up and Nicole would still be talking. Talking about what an American Girl catalog, and I'm like, I've been asleep. Are you still talking? So again, but it's good. So
I mean, in fairness, there's a lot of accessories in those American Girl catalogs, so you can talk for days.
It's a long catalog.
I was all just longing after.
It was just the catalog that we had. Yeah.
Very good. You're both going to get 5 points for that, because you revealed a lot about yourselves and each other. Very, very well done. So now, from the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's time for La Chose Française Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing, and the only thing that's French about it is the name. This week, I'm going to ask you each a question, and you just have to answer it, and I'll give you points depending on how I feel. So the question, and we will start with Nicole, is what's the best part about having a sister?
For me, it's that you have someone who always knows, who knows you from literally the moment you were born. I mean, in my case, the moment she was born, but basically since I was two when she came along, and we didn't have awareness. We've both been around in each other's lives for as long as we possibly know. And she knows everything about me, and we grew up together, so we have that history to draw on. And we had times when we fought, but we got through them. And we had and for me, and not all siblings get to be this lucky, not all sisters, but Vanessa and I are so alike in so many ways that I can't imagine anyone else having being as close to the type of person I am, and to sharing so many viewpoints and the history and all of that. And so to have a sister you actually love and also really like, and then also got to see grow up and become someone you really respect, and see that they are a little different from you too in some ways, and that you really are, it's someone you would still choose to be friends with too. That's who Vanessa is to me. And that's the best part of having a sister, is it's your best friend that you just happen to be born to.
Very nice. That was very sweet. If all was an amount of points, I would give you that. So Vanessa, what's your answer to that question?
Okay, well, Nicole went very heartfelt. Maybe I'll get there, but let's see. I'm going to say I always joke that, so because I have Nicole, and not only Nicole, but two other sisters and brothers that I love, I feel like I can be a really lazy friend because I don't need other friends. I mean, I do have them, but it's like, I don't have to worry because I always feel like, well, I have my siblings. And I feel like not everyone has that, but like my siblings are some of my best friends. So I kind of feel like I have this built-in support network that I don't ever worry about losing. And so, it's kind of a joke, but kind of serious. Like, I don't have to put so much effort into all these other friends, you know. so that's one. The other one is... Well, with Nicole, I had the benefit, even though it maybe wasn't always a benefit, that I did kind of always have someone who was like a couple years ahead of me that I got to kind of like, whether it was in high school, like I went into things, we did too many of the same things probably, but I got to go in and I already had this like leg up almost because one, people knew me, but also like I already knew things about the system, like theater or in college, like before I got there. So I think I benefited from that a lot too. Now, maybe I was
good
shadow a tad, but I also benefited. So yeah. So I think those are some tangible perks that I've experienced. So.
Yeah. That's, you know, what's interesting is because my sister is my stepsister. She wasn't actually my stepsister until I was like 18. So one of the things that I always wanted kind of in retrospect was to have that kind of little bit of like pseudo legacy experience of school, where you go into a high school and like all the teachers would have already known your older sibling and they would have sort of like they might hold you to a standard where you're like, oh, are you going to be as much trouble as your sister was? Or are you going to, you know, or whatever, but at least you'd sort of feel like you were already there. Like I think there's an incredible benefit to feeling like you're already sort of connected to something without having participated in it yet. And as an only child for most of my young life until then, like you kind of go alone. You're like, you're tabula rasa. No one knows anything about you.
No
one has any expectations, which is nice, but it's also like, it's challenging to be provided a blank canvas and have a bunch of people who kind of, you know, they have to get to know you over the course of a year. And then by the time they get to know you, you change complete settings again through most of school, where you don't, you know, you finally bond with a teacher and, oh, it's time to go to the next grade, and you don't get to know that teacher anymore. So yeah, it's interesting. I admire that. It was something that I always wanted. Like I always wanted to have a sibling when I was younger, because for the very reason that you mentioned, Vanessa, which is like, it's nice to have a built-in friend. because I think there are a lot of aspects of, and I mean, obviously, like, I'm doing this extroverted podcast thing, but like, there are a lot of ways that I deal with life that are very, I just don't really bother sharing stuff with some people. And, you know, and I just go, oh, well, this is a problem that I just have to figure out on my own. And I don't think about reaching out always. And I think that if I had a sibling, I might have a different perspective where it'd be like, oh, cool, I can just lean on people because other people know stuff, and that's a good thing. So yeah, I
agree. And we're blessed because, again, it's not like everyone feels that way about their sibling, but I
sure
think for the most part we do. But yeah, that's one of our teachers. I remember this from high school. Nicole did this video for like a public class. And like a lot of the siblings were in the video, and he used to show that video like for years. Like, one of my brothers was like 2 in the video, and when he came up through high school, it got shown. Ridiculous! It was like, how many Bradys can come through this school? We had like an extended like 15-year period of yearbooks where there was always one of us in this school. So it was
kind
of-
yeah. It's true, and Vanette. Vanessa, when we were in high school, some people called me Brady, and then they called her Little Brady. So she was like already known when she came in.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's, and that has its definite minuses also. Like, I don't want to oversell
that. Little Brady, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, you've got a chip on your shoulder right away because you're now being, oh, you're the little version of the person who we've already met, which is not yes. fair either. But it's just,
yes.
I think it creates interesting dynamics, right? Like, a part of, you know, it's like when you're growing up, whatever the things are that you're not particularly, like, that you're not born into tends to form interesting parts of your personality, right? If you're super mm-hmm. athletic and you sort of mature early, you tend to be like, oh, cool. Like, everybody just likes me and I'm good at stuff and I don't have to worry about a lot. And if you're kind of gawky and weird, like, you might tend to, like, focus on being humorous or something. Or, like, I'm going to hit the books because I'm definitely not going to hit the basketball court or the football field, you know? Anyway, great job. That was wonderful. I'm going to give Vanessa 2 points and Nicole 3 points, mainly for sincerity. Ooh. You get a hardcore sincerity bump.
And, I know Vanessa feels the same. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, you can't layer sincerity on sincerity. It's a hat on a yeah. hat at some point. Mm-hmm. Like, I appreciate mm-hmm. you got to go on the funny side too.
Yes. You need to know that we take the point system very seriously.
I definitely have that sense.
And we don't take kindly to inauthentic points being doled out.
That's true.
Because when we were kids,
points, yeah.
we used to get $1 for finding the prize egg at Easter. And in an effort to appease me, my mom gave me $1 for being a creative hunter because Nicole had found the prize egg, and Nicole did not take kindly to this like fluff award that didn't have any meaning. So when you grow up with siblings, yeah, you learn quickly, like, don't give them false.
Don't take false my praise. Award from me.
Yeah, just don't do awards at all if this is what they are.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, so this has to mean something.
I'm okay that these points have real meaning.
Yes.
Well, we're going into the final round. And so are you guys excited? You excited for the final
yeah.
round?
Ooh, I don't know who's winning right now, but yeah, I'm excited.
And here's what I got to tell you, because since you guys care about points, you are tied at 20 right now.
Oh,
so okay. this will okay. make or break someone's situation. Or, hey, you might end up tying. I don't know. I don't yeah. know how I'll score it. It could still yeah. be a tie. So mm-hmm. so Vanessa, we're going to start the final round with you. Do you have a vague idea about Dolores Van Cartier?
Okay, man. So Cartier is a brand. Isn't that a diamond brand? Cartier?
They make like luxury bags and stuff.
Fancy. I don't know. Cartier, like, I don't know if it's like figurines or crystal. I really don't know, but I think it's something. Clearly, this is well above my taste.
What I'll tell you real quick is it doesn't have to do with the brand Cartier.
Oh, okay.
This person, Dolores Van Cartier,
Okay.
Who I'm thinking of. So I'll just because I don't want you to go too far down that path with so much on the line right now.
Please stop talking. You're digging the hole so deep.
I thought it was Cartier too, but yeah.
So I was assuming she was, you know, possibly one of the founding sisters of this company, but I am clearly wrong. Dolores Van Cartier. I don't have a vague idea.
Okay. I think if neither of you do, you're both going to be very mad given your shared passion about something that you've talked about already earlier on the show.
Okay. Then I'm going to have to think. Okay,
come on.
Somebody character of some sort, but I'm not placing it, but now I'm probably giving Nicole clues. Okay. I might have to think and then let Nicole see what she remembers, and then maybe I can come back.
Okay. Nicole, do you have anything?
No. Now that you've said that, I am I'm thrown. Dolores Van Cartier. I started thinking, was it just a character, like a sister someone invented in a show or something? I don't know. If now I'm thinking, like Vanessa said, that it's a character. Otherwise, I had been thinking maybe it was someone who did something really, really awful to a sister or something. But no, I don't know.
Okay, Vanessa, anything coming to you?
No, I'm going. I'm trying. I know. I was trying to think of again all of these shows that we're so into.
Oh
know Doris Van Cartier. I don't. Unless she's a. Oh no, no. I don't know. I'm going to be kicking myself.
All right. Well,
I'm
not going to assign points based on this. We're going to assign points based on what you will definitely know about when I tell you who Dolores Van Cartier is.
I'm sure your podcast listeners are fascinated by my rant. Yeah, this lack of knowledge.
This is really how the show mostly goes. Dolores Van Cartier is the central hero in the 1991 movie Sister Act, as portrayed by Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, yeah.
Becomes Sister Mary Clarence.
Dolores Van Cartier, yes.
Yes.
Sister Mary Clarence, okay.
Yes.
I'm happy to kick us off with some Sister Act knowledge.
Talk about it. Let's see who knows more about Sister Act, and that'll be the breaker.
Dolores Van Cartier, dang it.
I know.
What? I literally just watched that movie not that long ago either.
Well, we have a deep because our grandma lives in New Mexico in just like a one bedroom house, and we would go visit in the summer or other times. And the only movie she had on VHS was so that was our option. No cable, just rewatch Sister Act over and over.
Isn't that funny how that's like we're all still of a generation where that was the thing, right? Like I would go over to a friend's house and the only video cassettes they had were West Side Story and Sound of Music, and that was the only things we ever watched.
These are my options. Exactly. These kids are so smart. So okay, so I'm gonna jump into Sister Act 2 because I think it's one of the rare cases where the second one is better than the first.
Okay. What is the subtitle of Sister Act 2?
Back in the Habit.
Very good. Yeah. All right, that'll get you a point.
Good one.
With
Dang, I gotta rack up some points.
Breakout Lauryn Hill, amazing. Yeah. And that's where Dolores is back to kind of get this Catholic school in shape, and she teaches the choir class, and they are all amazing singers and go to competitions, and so that one is great. The first one I think we saw at the drive-in. That's the only other thing, which is not back to anyone else that cares, but just family. I like to delve into our family history. Which you're like, no one else cares about that. But
Grandma's VHS, yeah.
Very good.
Nicole. I will do a Maggie Smith callback here. She's in Sister Act, of course. As is Kathy Najimy. I'm not sure how to say her name. And then I don't think there are Harvey Keitel is in it.
Oh yeah.
I don't know that there's that many other really well-known actors that went on and did anything like Vanessa said in the Sister Act 2. You've got Lauryn Hill who went on to be famous. But those movies are amazing. I loved the songs that they did as as church choirs. And that was, yeah, those were fun movies.
And Whoopi Goldberg was in her, I mean, she was in a lot.
Oh yeah, she was in a lot. She was one of our, I mean, yeah, definitely a favorite actress of the time.
Yeah, that was peak Whoopi. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was peak Whoopi.
She was on Star Trek The Next Generation at the same time.
Yeah. Was that before or after Ghost? Probably after?
Ghost was before.
Post-Ghost.
No, yeah, post-Ghost.
Yeah. Got the Ghost thing and parlayed that into some sister act, you know, money, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, a starring vehicle for someone who had been like a supporting actress, kind of background character, and a stand-up comedian primarily, right? Crazy. What a career arc, right. Too.
It's not a how did this get made because it's actually really good, but you wonder, like, who wrote the story? Like, about this, it's kind of a funny, premise. So,
they're like, I mean, it's such an interesting, it's really an interesting like pair of movies. And in a lot of ways, you both kind of alluded to this, but it's sort of Glee, but better because it's not trying to stretch itself out. It's sort of condensed into this, like, here's what you want. You want some people singing and being good at that. And that's good enough. very good. I mean, you guys got to it. I'm going to give you each 3 points. So thing is, because you both made incredible points, So the result of the game is a tie at 23, and that's okay because as sisters, you're accustomed to sharing at some point, I'm sure.
Yes.
And yeah, we've had ties before on the show. They happen sometimes, but I honestly can't really differentiate at this point. Like I wouldn't be able to say one person is definitely beating the other. And this is not an Easter egg situation. I promise you.
This is probably not, I wonder if this is too uncommon for sisters, because again, I think overall we share a similar knowledge base, even though, like, at our core, we have our specialties, but we have a similar core knowledge base, so.
Very true, I think. And yes, we did share a lot. We fought, and we had our competitions and took those seriously at times, maybe too seriously, maybe I took them too seriously, but we shared a lot too, and we shared a room our whole lives till I left for college, till Vanessa packed up all my stuff for me and said,
"Get." Sad moment. Jeez.
No, she was really ready for me to leave. That was sort of that was our most tense time maybe, and then things were great again after that. So we had almost all good sister times together from childhood and the middle years, and then as soon as we got a little space and she got to not have to be in the shadow as much, then it was all good again. So,
all right, Vanessa, counterpoint.
Well, I was just going to say about sharing. The only thing I'll add is that we didn't always have to share, because sometimes for probably like a good 5 years in our youth, we always got the exact same thing. And Nicole got pink, I got purple fanny packs. She got a pink one, and I got
every time.
Boodles. She got a pink one, and I got a purple one. So that was my parents' strategy. Yeah. No, I think I look back and I it's funny, I think almost all of it was good, but I think just like anything with siblings, when you're close in age, you're going to fight too, but yeah, which I try to remember as my children are sometimes like strangling each other. I'm like, this is normal, but no, fighting is a normal part of life.
As long as they don't complete the strangulation, you're doing fine. Yeah. I think that's really fair.
most of the sibling relationships are all very positive. So
yes.
Well,
I couldn't have thought of anyone else I'd want to go on my first podcast with than my sister.
Me neither.
and this was great. Thank you both for being on. So I want to give you both an opportunity to say anything that you want to say and plug anything. So Vanessa, we'll start with you. Anything you'd like to plug? Anything you want the listeners to know about? Anything that you're just passionate about in the moment?
Huh. Well, I mean, maybe the only thing I would say is I work in the College of Engineering at CU, and I used to be the director of a scholarship program that supports women and students of color in STEM. And so as people are just looking for ways to support, you know, especially our Black students right now. We have the National Society of Black Engineers. They have a conference coming up. So, you know, or if you ever just want to know cool things Steve's doing, we have this cool campaign called hashtag I Look Like an Engineer that I was a part of, where our students kind of get to break down stereotypes and talk about what they love about engineering, why they got into engineering. And some of the most awesome students I've gotten to work with, you can Google hashtag I Look Like an Engineer, CU Boulder, and you'll find that campaign. It's pretty cool. And it's not a CU campaign. It's like a national thing that happened, but we were a part of it. So.
Right on. That's awesome. Very good. Very cool. Nicole, anything that you would like to plug?
Yeah, that's a good plug on Vanessa's part. I did a story on that one time with Vanessa. That's another advantage of having a sister and multiple sisters here to feed the news beast that I'm always trying to feed.
You got leads everywhere.
I'm going to plug. I got lots of people in high places here like Vanessa. So I'm going to plug Denver 7 because that's where I work. And we definitely, we're working hard to do good work, and the media under some fire right now. But I think I want to say that local news is very different than what people think of when they think of some of the national news and maybe some inherent bias there. And I fully believe that exists, but I think that every single person I know that works at Channel 7 and a lot of the other stations here, they are working hard every day to tell the truth, to tell as many stories as we can possibly tell in the community. So if people have stories that they don't feel are being told in the news, bring them to us and we will share them. I would love it if people realize we're absolutely here to show what's really going on in this community, and we want to hear all the stories. So yeah.
Right on. Yes. I mean, it's the fourth estate, right? So
yeah,
we need it, and we have to learn how to retrust the media, because there's been an awful lot of a person who I'm not very fond of saying that the media is the enemy of the people. And I don't think that's accurate. I think that's grossly inaccurate. You know, because not all news needs to be favorable to any one person, nor should it be any particular filter 100%. Mm-hmm. Regardless, like, you need people out there who are searching for the truth. That should be our end goal every single time. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. This was a real pleasure.
Thank you.
I know we're typical, your typical like hilarious comedian.
I know.
But it was so fun. And again, I've always we've always joked about doing a podcast with our siblings. And when I ran into, it was so fun just to run into after all these years. And then to find out you're doing something so fun, and it was really fun to be a part of it.
Oh yeah, well it was a pleasure to run into you, and I think it's I mean I am again just deeply honored that you even listened to it and that you like it. So I'm into that, and I will say, like, you've both been excellent guests. I mean, this is exactly what I want. Like, it's just the only way that you can be a bad guest is if you don't want to talk. That's really, and I'm sure, Nicole, you know that, like, yeah, the worst thing you could have is, oh, I'm interviewing a person and they literally will not say anything. They won't answer. Yeah. I think so. Again, right? It's
very true.
The thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been wonderful. Hopefully I can have you back on the show either over Zoom or we can do an in studio show when we get to a point where that is completely safe and secure, so that we can all have microphones and beverages and whatever. And we'll look into that in the future.
We would love it.
I mean, all I'm going to plug is, hey, if you like this show, please subscribe, rate, and review us. That really helps us out. Check us out on social media. I trust you to Google, so there's no other podcast with this name. You'll find us. We're pretty much everywhere. We're going to be on Pandora soon. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Apple. We're on Google. We're on all the things. So get out there and find us if you like us. And yeah, I mean, otherwise, we remain in an interesting time when it comes to the pandemic. So please wear your mask when you're in public. Just do the little things that you can do to save all of us, because we still don't really know what this thing is. And I think that's the interesting thing about that. And then also when it comes to Black Lives Matter, if you have the means, donate to that, donate to bail funds, or at very least, like, talk to your family members who maybe don't get it Have the conversations. Have the conversations in a loving way that make them not just a political issue, but make it into about people, because that's really what this is. We're all humans. Everybody needs to live. And we have an opportunity to be advocates for our fellow humans. And I think that's a cool thing. So, yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you guys again for being on. And listeners, thank you for listening. And everybody, just take care of yourselves. This has been A Vague Idea. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was super fun. Thank you.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolian, with Shannon Page and sometimes John Perros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.